Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's April 12th, 2016. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains, right here at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional,
but the truth is always naked.
And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw and Universe Spirit. I was just talking to the CEO of Go Raw today, our good friend Rob, and they're coming up with some new products. It's going to be exciting. They're going to launch in the spring. We're excited about that because their food is not only delicious, but it's so nutritious. And aren't we glad that those words rhyme? Because then they go together like that when you're talking about Go Raw. And Universe Spirit.
Awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
Indeed we can. Guess what, Rochelle?
What, Errol?
Tonight's topic, you know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, let's inform our listeners. You can't count on it is our phrase of the week. So what can you count on? Really? What a great feeling when you can count on someone. And then there's counting itself. This brings up the whole issue of the quantitative versus the qualitative aspects of our lives. Which is more fulfilling? How do we keep them in balance? Who's counting? Much to discuss. And we just may have a special guest tonight, the Count of Sesame Street fame. He said we could count on him. If you've listened to us before, or even if you haven't, you can count on it.
What can we really count on? Is it the sun rising every morning and setting every evening? Or the oceans moving toward the land and back again? Is it that the universe is larger than our minds can comprehend? There are opinions and whims and concepts they may or may not be counted on. As we grow, become more aware, more conscious, or is this something we can count on? We will change. Can we count on change? Maybe it's that all living things die, and one and one will always equal two. What is may not be. Can we count on that?
Ooh, Rochelle, that's really provocative. You raised so many questions. What
yeah.
can we count on, and how important is it to be able to count on something or someone? So just a quickie kind of definition of you can count on it means that it's dependable.
Mm-hmm.
It's there when you expect it to be there. It's those wonderful circumstances when your expectation meets the immediate reality.
So, that's a nice one. Good. Expectation meets immediate reality.
And then you think about all the times in your life that doesn't happen.
Oh, and you're disappointed and frustrated.
Anger.
Shame, guilt.
All the above. Take your pick.
You can almost count on that happening when you don't have your expectations met.
One of the big things we can count on, of course, is death. Today, it just so happens, we've been watching the DVD series by Ken Burns of the Roosevelts, and we just finished the last one with Eleanor Roosevelt, and she died on April 12th today. This is the anniversary of her death.
Wow.
And she was 77 years old, and what a contribution she made. Speaking of dying, we had a wonderful friend, a singer by the name of Chuck Pyle. And Chuck was able to join us in so many events, and he was such a sweet man. And we found out that he passed just last November, and we were both so saddened by it because he was such a great guy. So in remembrance of Chuck, and to give you a sense of his wonderful sense of humor and his insight, he was called the Zen Cowboy. Here's Chuck singing a song called Inside of My Face.
Day can turn into certain disaster when you're the servant and your mind is the master. You become the director of a tragic play where none of the actors see it your way. Stuck in your head with this arrogant snob, you'd think he would have thought himself out of a job because he's petty, stingy, paranoid. You'd fire the jerk, but you're self-employed. You've had about all yourself you can take, and you begin to plan this prison break where you get yourself busy figuring something out, and you get out of your head and you begin to shout, help me, I'm trapped on the inside of my face. I woke up from a nap, brain stem all over the place. Overstay. Anybody know any psycho feng shui? Cause I am trapped in the inside of my face. So with your brain stuck in the on position, you drag yourself to a mental physician and he shakes his head at your furtive stare. He says, never, never be alone when you go in there. Anything you say will be misunderstood because your mind's like a bad neighborhood. Maybe it's from back there in your psychoactive years. You might have stripped some really important gear. It's dark in there and it's dangerous too. From doing what all the little voices have been telling you to do. And I think it's damaged way beyond fixing. Some parts are broken, but some are missing. Help me, I'm trapped on the inside of my face. I woke up, something snapped. Now the real me is being erased. They're launching a frontal attack. Somebody help me get the real. I am trapped the inside of my face.
And that would be Chuck Pyle, The Inside of My Face. And there is more of that song. We'll come back to it later on in our program. That would be nice.
You can always depend on Chuck Pyle's self-honesty, that for sure. And he's always willing to expose himself and make it enjoyable.
He wrote another song called The Committee, which is very similar. It's about the committee inside your head. That's one of the things I can count on, is that my mind will just kind of run amok. There's amok all over the place. We actually live just behind amok. And I watch my mind running out there in the muck and running amok. And the two run together, my mind and amok. I can count on that. What does it take for a person to be able to be accountable, if we look at it that way?
Is that like being responsible? So many people I have met in the last number of years are not responsible, not irresponsible in the sense that they try to, don't know. And that much I can count on. I'm confused. But being responsible first and foremost, we have to be responsible to ourselves, because if we don't, it's really hard to be responsible to anybody else. And what I mean by that is not that I matter more than you, but that my inventory really is important so that I can bring you the fullness of me. Otherwise, I'm leaving something out. I'm responsible when I take inventory, when I check out what's going on with me all the time and what's happening. And then you get the honesty of me. What I like about Chuck is that he always had that self-honesty. And I think there are so many people that are working on that, but they work on it so seriously. They don't work on it with humor. And the nice thing about Chuck is he always added the humor to it.
Of course, we don't actually know very many of those people that are working on it, of the 6 billion of us. We might know maybe 10 or 15. Generalizations are so handy. But, oh, wait a minute, before we go any further, Professor Umbridge, what do you have to say about you can count on it?
Oh, good evening, of course, but can you actually count on? You can count on three things that I feel I can ultimately count on that kind of sets the tone for the places where I feel like I can expect my expectations to meet reality. And one of those is gravity. I can count on gravity to hold me here. And, of course, the other is the cycles of birth and death. That's very much something you can count on. It seems to just go on and on and on. And then the third thing, and this one is so delicious, is the speed of light. Light itself. Now, that may seem irrelevant, but we really actually totally depend upon all those three things in order for anything to happen, including each of us. And that's why it's important to know you can count on it. Now, here's the question that arises, and that is, can you count on you continuing after the cycle of the birth and death takes you? Ah, see, that's where we get into some interesting area where it's more, well, nebulous. That's the word don't get used very often. That which you can count on. That brings in something we've talked about before, and that is the whole experience of faith. Faith is about counting on something that can't be seen or proven or understood. And yet you can count on it that when you step out into the next place in life, life will meet you there, will be there to greet you and support your stepping as you continue along the way.
Now, Professor, are you talking about after death or before?
Yes, my dear.
What do you mean, yes, my dear? I asked you a question and you didn't give me a yes. It's either this or that.
Of course, here now, that's what gravity is, a wonderful example of how life will come meeting you. You keep stepping and it's there to support you. What we are learning is that there's also such a thing as spiritual gravity. That's something you might want to bring some gravitas to it. But I don't think it's really necessary. I think you can bring a sense of humor into the spiritual gravity domain. You've talked about spiritual gravity, haven't you, Rochelle?
I have, but can I count on it? Sometimes one and only thing I can count on is that I don't know. I can count on it because there's so much to know and so little that I have knowledge of that I can count on the fact that I am in many ways ignorant.
One of the things I have learned to count on about myself is that I will make a mess, stumble, and lose something every day.
I concur.
And that's why Rochelle's nickname for me is Klutzo, is that the name?
Klutzo, yes.
But today was an especially interesting day because I make this protein drink every morning and I put lots of ingredients in it. Seeds and psyllium and wheat germ and blueberries and bananas, and I could go on and on, and it does go on. And I go to the refrigerator, and I take my blender, and I start pouring the almond milk in and the combination of seeds, and I grab it from where we store it. today I didn't realize that I grabbed the container, but the bottom hadn't been put back on the container. I'm pouring in the almond milk and all the seedy little things, ground up chocolate, et cetera.
I was so glad I wasn't here.
I know. I was thinking, Rochelle, if she was here, it would have been so interesting because it was like the ultimate of the mess. There it is, right? It's sitting there and it's just all leaking out. And of course, the challenge was, how do I salvage as much of it as I can? What can I slide that blender container, and I slid it over onto the tray for the toaster. It wasn't really all that good.
Oh, God, no.
And so it started going other places. And then I took it back to the other counter, and I thought, well, I'm going to slide it off onto a plate. That wasn't as successful as I had hoped it would have been. That was a place where, unfortunately, my expectation, more like my hope, and reality just really did not get along.
Oh, my God.
So you can count on me doing that.
Do you know how many times he's done this? I mean, not this one, but Errol writes variations on the theme. And his blender and his morning thing is messed up just about once a week at least.
Oh, at least. Yeah, I will spill it, get to close the top.
What does that say? It. I think we can count on the fact that you go unconscious. Oh, no, you're thinking of other things.
That's right. I'm thinking of the next thing. I'm off away. There's the mind, like Chuck was talking about, just busy going off on some other errand, mind errands that it goes off on. Rochelle just had a coughing fit.
Laughing.
So we're talking about counting on it and counting. We do have a very special guest tonight, and that is the Count from Sesame Seed. What did I say?
Sesame Seed.
Is that not it?
Sesame Street.
Oh, yes. See? You can count on me. Kind of mucking about. Anyway, Count, welcome. This is a first. I'm the Count, and I come from Countess Lockvia, and I'm counting on the counting of the numbers to be able to be there for each person so they can count on the numbers being there, and hopefully they will be able to use the numbers for something other than this very bad accent that the Count is using.
Harold really wanted to do the Count rather than having the Count here. So he's doing the Count, and he's moving through a whole group of people that he's met in the past who aren't really the Count.
But the Count.
Needless to say, the Count was always counting, and he loved numbers, and all of us who grew up as children watching Sesame Street loved him madly. He'd come out and he'd say, oh, I love the numbers.
Numbers. Speaking of Count, and I've shared this with you before, I took a Sabbath once where I decided and committed to not count at all during the day, have no numbers as a factor in my day.
And you expired. You broke down.
It was torture. You realize how much numbers are a part of our life. I'm reading this book by William Manchester about the Middle Ages and the transition into the Renaissance. They didn't have numbers like we do. I'm just aghast at how primitive and barbaric they were. But of course, they didn't have clocks.
But I mean, there must have been something way, way back in our consciousness that created counting. Because there are things in front of you, and there's more than one of them. And so you have to have some kind of connection to the fact that there's more than one of them. And there's like one, two, three, four, five. And you may not be able to count them, but you have to be aware that there is a count there. And I guess you can't really make a chronology of when did we start counting. I have no idea. But we have digits, which are more than one. We have fingers and toes. And then we have two eyes. Well, one nose is irrelevant.
Yeah, but it's got two nostrils. You get a two for
true.
One when you get your nose. There was a book about the woman who was living with the Neanderthal people I'm talking about those novels.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That. Yeah. She was like of our Homo sapiens sapien. You always get two for one. And she was living with this, you know, pre-Homo sapien group, whatever they were, Neanderthalers. And one of the more enlightened and wiser ones of the group, he counted up to 10. She was able to count up to 20, but that was beyond his ability. You reminded me of about the digits. Even though he had 20 digits, his mind was only capable of going up to 10.
Guess he couldn't see as far down as his toes.
That's so silly. That is so unworthy of your joke repertoire. I mean, really, do you not agree out there?
I agree. You don't have to second it. Okay. I firsted it. This is accounting.
Here's something that is really wonderful to be able to do, and we mentioned it earlier, and that is to be able to count on each other. So let's listen to Count On Me.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. Find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. Ooh, 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 yeah, yeah. If you're tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will remind you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me. Friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, yeah. You'll always have my shoulder when you cry. I'll never let go, never say goodbye.
Count On Me, originally written by Bruno Mars, but this was a cover by Katja Petr, as in Petra, P-E-T-R, left out that vowel again, I have to talk to Katja about that, and Celine Huber, not to be confused with her evil twin sister, Celine Hubris.
God, I can't
believe. You can count on me for some silliness, predictable.
Absolutely. There's some things that we want to count on, and we really shouldn't.
Like what?
Like people. I'm not denigrating us humans, but we're very immature. And so what happens, we count on each other for certain things, and then we're disappointed, and we go through a whole bunch of stuff around that. But we can love each other fully without counting on them, and really see if we can penetrate into the depths of consciousness of the people around us, we could learn more and more what we can count on and what we can't count on.
Well, one thing I know I can count on, and that is When I go to See's Chocolates and I order a dark nougat, I can count on it. It's going to taste as good as the last one I got.
Until one day it may not.
But that's something our society has achieved. We can manufacture things consistently. So when the buyer goes to get it, he can have a strong expectation that it'll be that way, that he remembered it and liked it in the past.
And if it's not, that's not fun at all.
That's not good. Speaking fun and no fun, we have another distinguished professor with us, Professor Schnitzel. What do you say about you can count on it?
Yeah, you can count on it. You can count on me to have something to say about that. And I liked hearing a little bit of the count fellow, even though he was not sure who he was from one word to the next, actually. Maybe I could give him some lessons. I knew some people from Transylvania, and they had a strange teeth door. They would use their teeth in strange ways. But I tried to stay not so much in front of the teeth, but over to the side of the teeth so they didn't land into my neck. But I knew they were just hungry, and it wasn't personal. But back to the subject of counting. What else can we count on? I like you mentioned gravity. Things of that nature, the scientific thing, I'm very impressed with that, Professor. I would like to say that insofar as we are existing in a universe that's out in space and no one knows where the center is, by the way, we thought we were the center. Then we thought the sun was the center. Then the solar system was the center. You can count on human beings always trying to make themselves the center and the most important part of everything. But it's very humbling to find out that there is no center. It's all space expanding every which way. If you can find out which way it's going, then you will be a person that people will go to because they know they can count on you.
Direction, that's very important. We are very hung up on how to get someplace, how to get there. We want to count on that. We count on maps. We count on MapQuest and Google and all these things to find out how to get something. We count on. I am directionally dyslexic in the sense that I don't really know my right from my left immediately. I have to think about it.
But she knows her top from her bottom. Go ahead.
So we got a Garmin.
GPS system GPS for your system. Car.
Would you believe that the voice on the Garmin was directionally dyslexic? We would arrive at destinations and she'd say, "You have arrived at the destination on your right." And it would be on the left. Or she'd say, "You've arrived at the destination on your left." It would be on the right. We could count on her being directionally dyslexic.
It was a very odd thing, but we could count on it that it'll be not what we expected. I remember asking someone for directions once, and they said, "Well, you go up here and turn left," but their arm pointed right. And I was thinking, which one should I respond to, the voice that said to the left or the arm that said to the right? And I said, "I'm going to go with the arm, because I think the arm more likely knows the direction than, in this case, this person's mind."
Was it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So you could count on the body knowing more than the mind knows.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, Barney, what do you got?
Hi, this is Barney. You know, people like to give directions. So you can count on people. Come out to see me in Brooklyn, and if you get lost and you ask someone for the direction, I don't care what their character is, you know, they could be a gangster. Will love to give directions if they know where to go. So that tells me that one of the things that makes someone be able to be countable on is that they feel confident about what they know or what they're being asked to do. So they exude this kind of feeling of confidence. So I think confidence goes right along with count on you and count on me and even counting it. And the more confident you are, the more likely you can be someone that someone could say, I count on you. That raises the other question, doesn't it, dear Rochelle, about how do you get confident if you are, like, not confident? There are a lot of people that are not confident. Those are the people that you can't really count on, because you got to get that first in place, some kind of personal confidence. Doesn't mean you have to know everything or be good at everything, but you have to kind of know who you are and be confident in yourself that you're okay and that you are enough, even though there's going to be a lot more to be discovered. And that you can count on.
Hope so. The thing I think I can count on the most is that I don't know. Remember, we did a program on what we knew and what we didn't know. What do I know? I really believe that it's a feeling that I will learn. I can almost count on that for me personally, that I'm willing to learn, to expand my consciousness. I can count on my willingness to do that. That's the only thing I know about myself that is really true.
So it turned out that reality was just a collective hunch. Points of view all gathered in a bunch. People with opinions believing one another. Brain against brain, brother against brother. We're all chips off the same mainframe, you know. It's just hard to find when you're thinking with this brain. There's no amount of thinking is going to find the place when the brain stems in control of the face. All the little voices drive you to the brink of believing everything that you think. And your true whereabouts remains unknown. Lights are on and everybody's home. Help me, I'm trapped on the inside of my face. I woke up kidnapped, this imposter taking my place. Be afraid, be very afraid. Reptilian gangliates are overrunning the of my own. Out of my mind, leave a message.
Chuck Pyle, the inside of my face. Hello, this is Rabbi Greenberg. You brought up something, if I can interject. Oh, of course, come on in. Always happy to have your perspective. What were you thinking about?
Well, Rochelle was talking about the willingness, and that is such an important thing in the whole process of waking up, transforming, finding and living the juice that existence is offering you in as many bites as you would like. Gulp, gulp, gulp. And that is the willingness. You see, a lot of people are faced with the fact that they're not able to do something that seems to be required of them. But a little known secret is that they don't have to be able first. They have to be willing. When you're willing, it opens a little door, and the forces in the universe that are acting on your behalf can come in and give you a little push this way or that way to tell you which direction to go. And the secret is, you've got to be willing to go in any direction. That way, you're malleable. People should become more malleable. Doesn't get a lot of good press being malleable, because they feel like you have to be strong-willed. But sometimes it's good to use your will to make yourself malleable, flexible. But the willingness is such an important thing. And you say to yourself when you get a little stuck, I'm willing. You know, you ask yourself, am I willing to look at things differently? Am I willing to let go of what I think I know and see if something else would like to show up and offer me a better deal?
I think that's the way we grow and learn, is that sense of willingness when it comes before everything else.
And I'll say about the willingness thing, you can count on it. Yeah, try it. You'll see. It'll work.
I do try it. I love the fact that we as human beings in many ways are positive. We're more optimistic, I think, than pessimistic, because we really do wake up believing that the sun will be shining. The sun is out there somewhere, even behind a cloud. We do wake up with a sense that we're here right now, that we can do something. That is something we can count on. The human condition, it's moving. It's constantly moving and growing and changing. I think that in the state that I'm in, which is where I am on the line of my own evolution, that's something I can count on, that I'm growing and changing and learning, and so many people are too. And that we also have this sense of optimism about that, that tomorrow may be better than today if today is not okay.
And yet, in reading these accounts of so many horrendous kind of lives, like I say, I've been reading them in the Middle Ages, it was not a piece of cake kind of life for most people, as it is for so many people right now. And there is this incredible imbalance. I'm often struck by how much you can count on human beings to be base in our behavior and intentions. And we can count on having altruistic and positive intentions. And it's such a weird mix that we live in this culture, in this life, between brazen cruelty, meanness, insensitivity, etc., and these urges toward good, being good, treating each other good. But I'll tell you one thing in reading about this, it made me just really, if I'm going to do some counting, I'm going to count my blessings. The Martins, count your blessings.
That's crux, or the most crucial aspect of what I think of as an authentic spiritual experience, that I am in contact with something that is so substantively there. I love the theologian Paul Tillich's definition or description of God. He said, the ground of being. When you think about being, that we all share this vast sense of this beingness, and the ground of this being, what holds being in place, is universal being. Another name that sometimes I would give in my vain attempt to put a name on the unnameable is all being. And when I imagine now this all beingness kind of thrusting, like they say, space is expanding. If you think of it as life thrusting out, 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 like a rocket ship, giving forth beings and all kinds of diverse beings as it moves through the cosmos, through existence, and these beings are interacting and co-creating experience, and experience becomes a part of who the being is becoming. And they're adding these experiences to each other and with each other and forming this vast, complex, multifarious dimensionality, diversity of life that's kind of spitting forth. It's like it's a spritz.
Your awareness of that is unique in terms of what most people are aware of. I don't think that is what the masses are aware of. You have to realize that. Something beyond our ken, but until we even have a realization of something beyond our ken, there's no counting on it. You said, like, what we can count on is birth and death. For most people, that's very visible. It's there. You can see it all the time. You can touch it. For a lot of people, between the birth and death, there's a lot of suffering. So a lot of people who suffer, that's what they can count on. They can count on life as suffering. Dealing with that sometimes can lead you to this place beyond it, beyond the suffering. Life is all suffering, but once you embrace the suffering, I think something does happen to you that you can see that beyond that.
Well, isn't that basically the Buddha's approach? All life is suffering? I would like to ask Father O'Malley if he would like to share his perspective on You Can Count on It. This is Father O'Malley. And you can always count on me to have a point of view about it, because it's always very much a part of my day-to-day life, which has to do with helping people to know what they can count on. They don't always come with that question. No, the question may be, how can I pay the bills, Father? What am I do about my poor child who has asthma, Father? My mother treats me mean all the time, and yet she's dying, and I feel a combination of guilt and sadness there. So there's all this complexity of people's feelings and what challenges them and the things that they're dealing with. But I always like to point out to them that underneath all that, and that's what I like to call the shenanigans of life, there are things coming and going and doing and not doing and starting and stopping and all that. There's this kind of baseline. Well, that's what you can really count of. And the nice thing about it is, it doesn't have to be some kind of abstract thought or thinking. And it doesn't really require much belief, because the baseline shows up constantly as the present. Doesn't it, dear? And you can always count on the present to be what? Present.
For sure.
And that's the most accessible place to find your spiritual forebear, your ground of being, as you say there. In the present, it's always there. It's always a reminder that you can just return to it and spring from it. And that's why it's important every day to take some time out and just get still and just be aware of the presence that you're abiding in. The beauty of it is the presence is abiding in you. And of course, in everything and everybody else. You can count on it.
I guess I'm having negative thoughts or shadow thoughts. But I'm thinking of somebody who's physically suffering. Present is almost unbearable. And sometimes somebody who is suffering almost projects themselves into the future with the hope that it will cease, the suffering. Because to stay in the present there is to stay in the suffering. But the promise that the suffering might end, which is the future, can be much more heartening.
No one said this would be easy.
No.
Everything you fear is here, and it's holding you up. It just keeps holding you up.
Said it would be easy. That was by Cloud Cult. And if you didn't catch the lyrics, you came up from the ground from a million little pieces. You're a pretty human being. Yeah, you're a pretty human being. When it all comes crashing down, try to understand your meaning. No one said it would be easy, because living, it ain't easy. And you were sewn together with a tapestry of molecules, a billion baby galaxies in wide open spaces. And everything you need is here. Everything you fear is here. And it's holding you up. It just keeps holding you up. But no one said it would be easy. Just living. It ain't easy.
Well, they're pretty prophetic.
So you were talking about you can count on the suffering, and for so many. But yet it seems to be that that's the grist for the mill, that without that, as we mentioned before, we've been watching this DVDs about the Roosevelts, and in all three cases, Theodore, Franklin, and Eleanor, they each had a really challenging thing.
Their
more
personal
than one thing.
Lives were challenging.
They had to work through some major losses and pains and setbacks.
And rejections. Things we're most frightened about.
And yet it was their capacity to use that and to allow that. As one biographer said, she didn't think FDR would have been anywhere near the great man that he was if he hadn't had polio, infantile paralysis. You really get to see that. I think we would highly recommend you watch Ken Burns' program.
The Roosevelt, an intimate portrait. Very intimate, and it's very inspiring. I was very inspired by it. I was inspired by Eleanor Roosevelt, who just had so much conviction and so much drive. And yet she was hampered by features. You know, she was a rather plain woman. She wasn't pretty attractive, the way most people think of attractive anyway. I heard her speak when I went to Brooklyn College. She was mesmerizing. To me, she was absolutely beautiful, standing on that stage and talking to us, because she was so present and she was so alive and she had so much vitality.
One thing they shared that she had in common with her cousin Teddy was this depression. And both of them seemed to deal with it by action. And in her case, action and service. You could feel the strength of her will to do the good that she did. She was truly someone who is admirable. Many people recognized that during her day. She didn't go without admiration. But tonight we have been dealing with, you can count on it, and what we can count on. One of the things that we want to remind you that you can count on is, of course, Go Raw, our sponsor. And not just Go Raw, but Universe Spirit, our other sponsor. So you can count on them. You can count on Go Raw for something that's just at the highest level of gastrointestinal goodness. And this is not good news, but we can count on some more and more dire, stressful things happening as a result of this climate change. So to kind of head it off in the future, it would behoove us to get involved in that and to find out how and what's going on. Go to universespirit.org. And you can count on them for bringing you really up-to-the-date, current, and fair analysis of what's going on here.
I'm grateful that they both exist and that they both support us. I can count on the fact that we are inside out.
You can reach me at eastrider@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I heard from my friend Alan today, and it was so nice. He commented on our pictures that I sent out on email. If you'd like to be on my email list, send me your email and I will include you and let you know about some of the surprises that are continually happening in our evolving awareness. And you can also go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, where we have 15 videos of us in performance. And I think, well, we need to sign off. It's that time. So, Rochelle, what do people need to remember?
Need to remember that resistance is what you add to fear to make it last longer and hurt more.
You can count on it.
You can count on it.
Actually, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Did I say fear?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's true, too.
Yeah, you can count on that, too.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.